3, 2, 1. It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I'm your host, Dima Mixon. Today, from Nathan's apartment, once again, we liked our setup so much last week that we actually let Charlie in on it this week. So we have early morning this week. Gosh, I hate this Thursday night game. We have to record these early in the morning Wednesday. So we are college students, and we are doing this for the listeners. Mm. We are getting up early. We have donuts. We have coffee. And we're going to be talking a little bit of football. I have Nathan. I have Charlie. I have Jackson. Gentlemen, good morning. How is everybody doing?
Good morning. I'm here.
I'm feeling good. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's just so hard waking up early to talk about football, man.
Darn.
Hey, Jackson, let me just remind you that you were the one late. So I just want
to. Hey, we ain't got to go there.
Charlie, have you still recovered from the Kelly Olynyk calling game Sunday night?
Yeah, a little bit, because the Pelicans beat the Mavericks last night without three of their top guys, of their starters. So, and they beat Luka, so I can't be mad.
Okay. Well, I think there's a football game tomorrow night.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's Virginia Tech.
Southern Miss is going to be welcoming the University of Louisiana. I'm pretty sure we'll be referring to them as UL for most of this podcast. So if we say UL and you're like, who in the world is UL? That's UL. So Southern Miss welcoming them tomorrow night. 6:30 kickoff on ESPN2. This is your weekly preview podcast, as well as Prince Pick'em later in the show. A lot of good games to pick this week, but far from the forefront, we will be talking, previewing ourselves the Louisiana matchup. We were not able to get a Louisiana beat writer on the show just because it was such a quick swing, and normal we have a little bit more time, but obviously short week this week, and everybody's kind of even them. So like, we're not the only ones covering this team; they're also on a short week, so just busy week. So we're going to be covering it, but we did some research for y'all. Nathan, you have the stats up. So long-time history between these two schools actually runs deep. They haven't played in a while, though. I think the last time they played was the New Orleans Bowl in 2016, right?
Yeah, you're correct. 2016. Currently, Southern Miss is actually on a nine-game winning streak against UL, dating back from 1994 to 2016. Southern Miss actually holds a pretty big edge in this matchup. 39 wins to only 11 losses, and there's actually a tie in this history from way back when you could tie. But yeah, mainly it's been competitive recently. Back in the day, Southern Miss really dominated this game. Obviously, they've won the last nine matchups, but yeah, usually it's a pretty competitive game.
Something that Jack put in the game notes, I don't know if y'all saw this. This is the first time they've played in Hattiesburg since 2008. Mm. And that game, Michael Desermo was actually UL's quarterback. And they lost 51-21. So, yeah, this is a pretty interesting series. I think it's might set up something that we see, you know, like a regional rivalry down the road.
Yeah, I saw the Old Dominion and I think Old Dominion and James Madison coined their game as the Royal Rivalry this week. So they're like starting a rivalry, and I think this would be a great something to be named. I think they sometimes call it like Battle on the Bayou or whatever, but it would be nice to name this. But gentlemen, just how we feeling this week? Southern Miss coming off 1-2 straight over Arkansas State and Texas State. Two weird games, but, you know, a win's a win. What's the overall feel for the team right now as they head to this primetime matchup?
I think you can still say there's questions that need to be answered about this team, but that's going to be a part of this team for the rest of the season. And it's a young team. They're still learning who they need to be to win games, but they're winning those close games. Like early on this season, Will Hall said they were losing the tight games when they should be winning them, and they're starting to win those close games, which is a big step in the right direction. So I think the next step is trying to get a big-time win for your program, and this might be the opportunity they have.
Yeah, I look at it. I liked when Coach Hall said after Texas State game, he's like, I told y'all it was going to be some ugly wins, basically. But think about that. Those two games that they got, those ugly wins, those are still wins regardless, and they go into this game above, you know, where they could have been, and they're coming in this game with a lot of confidence at home, nationally televised. There's a lot of momentum going to Southern Miss's side. But you know, this is a team that has been a powerhouse in the Sun Belt, and you know, I think they're putting some pieces together this year, but they're on a little win streak too, so it's going to be, I think, some fierce competition Thursday night.
Yeah, you're right on about that. And those Southern Miss has proven that they can find ways to win. Last 2 weeks were against, I would say, lower tier Sun Belt opponents. Then you got a Louisiana team coming into Hattiesburg. They're kind of hot right now. They stumbled out the gate, but they found their footing. Their quarterback's starting to play really well, and they have their starting running back returning for this game, so that'll be key as well. But this is a team that has that pedigree, especially in recent years with the Raging Cajuns, and Southern Miss is going to have to start out strong, or else they could find themselves in a hole they can't dig themselves out of.
Yeah, multiple 10-win seasons for UL over the past couple of years. Southern Miss obviously not having that sort of success. Louisiana is the defending Sun Belt champions as they beat Appalachian State last year at home. You know, when you think about how big of a game this is for Southern Miss, it seemed like it was circled on the schedule when the season started.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you look at it in that sense, does it kind of take out that sense of, well, UL is probably all, you know, across the 22-man roster starters better than Southern Miss? But does just the hype around the game kind of change it? It's a night game, it's prime time, it's a blackout. I mean, what are your vibes on that?
Yeah, early, I mean, we came into the season, we thought we had pretty high expectations for UL, and you know, they've kind of underperformed to those expectations. You know, as of late, they've been playing really good football. But yeah, the hype's still there. You know, very close opponent, a team that's probably going to be a rival from here on out in the Sun Belt for Southern Miss. You know, the hype's there. Everyone's ready to see this game. I don't think it's any less than it was, you know, when the season started. So I think these players are excited. The fans are excited. And, you know, I think that rock's going to be blacked out on Thursday night.
Yeah, I just think the time that it was set into makes it even more exciting. Like I said, it's, you know, midway through this season, a little more than midway now, and it's the start of a pretty competitive stretch. So this is a very important game. Both coaches, I think, were touching on that this week. I mean, if you look at Southern Miss's schedule for the rest of the season, it's going to be tough. So, you know, having this home prime time, maybe you call it an advantage, you know, that's big, and Southern Miss is going to have to take advantage of that advantage.
Yeah, going into this season, a lot of Southern Miss fans thought that Louisiana would be either, let's say, 6-1 or 7-0 going into this game. So the fact that they have the same record as the Golden Eagles might actually bring the hype up a little bit more. They're like, okay, we can win this game. They might actually show up and show out, you know what I'm saying? Especially looking at how the athletic department's really put an emphasis on this game, right? Mm. There's a Will Hall look-alike contest, blackout, doing all these types of things to try and get fan involvement. I think there's a good amount of tickets available for like $6 or something like that. So they're really putting an emphasis on this game. And with it being upgraded from ESPNU to ESPN2, might not seem like a big deal to most, but that's a pretty big deal.
It is.
A lot more people have ESPN2 than ESPNU, so it should be a great atmosphere, and Southern Miss is hoping they can get the dub in front of a national audience.
Yeah, so let me just go through Louisiana's schedule, then we'll kind of get into some position groups. So they start off the season beating Southeastern Louisiana, as we all expected. Then they beat Eastern Michigan, then a weird road game loss against Rice. They kind of got blown off the field at Rice. Mm-hmm. Now, Rice is pretty good, but I mean, I don't know. But then they also went the next week and lost at ULM, which is a team that's kind of scrappy and kind of been playing with a couple of teams. Southern Miss gets them at the end of the year. Then they lost to South Alabama, which to me is a pretty respectable loss. I mean, South Al's really good this year. And then they went on the road and beat a Marshall team that was struggling. And then last week they finally found their groove on offense and just rolled Arkansas State. So that's kind of where they're at, and then we all know where Southern Miss is at. I want to start with the offense. Let's just kind of go through the offense. I think Charlie did some research on the offense. So, Charlie, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so I was looking at the quarterback situation, and obviously Chandler Fields was their starting guy at the beginning of the season, and he's actually available for this week, but Desermo is saying that they don't want to put him in a situation where he hasn't, you know, been able to get the reps with the team on a short week. So they're going to stick with the guy who got it done last week and who's been on a tear, really. Redshirt junior Ben Wooldridge last week just totally shredded Arkansas State, like you were saying. The last three games, he's thrown for 8 touchdowns and 1 pick and led them to 2-1 record.
And he has almost the same yardage that Zach Wilkie has in the entire season.
Yeah. So South Alabama was like really the only rough game for him. I think he had like 90 yards. But I mean, since then, like I said, just crazy. 5 touchdowns last week against Arkansas State. And I mean, overall, this is a team that, you know, it lost Levi Lewis. So they were trying to figure out what their quarterback situation was. Their offense has pretty, I don't want to say identical, but statistically is kind of right there with Southern Miss. But they, you know, Southern Miss, the most points they've scored is I think against Tulane, so I mean, this is a team that just scored 38 last week.
Yeah, and I think Nathan, you had that Desmo talking in his press conference yesterday about Southern Miss just being that scrappy team who's like supposed to have won a few games. Do you have that clip for us?
Yeah, I got it right here. Let's play it.
You know, it's always scary when you have a team that finds a way to win every, I mean, in the end, every game. In the last two games, they've played good football as a team all the way through, and they found a way to win in the end. And their offense does what they need to do in crucial times. So those are things that are always concerning. And you know they have some confidence in that. They've played really well this year. I mean, even going back to week one, I think it was Liberty week one, really good football game. You know, went back and forth, and you can see them evolve as time goes. And now they're winning those games. They're playing really well together. And like I said, they're opportunistic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of that's just coaches talk. Obviously, he's not going to sit there and just dog on Southern Miss, but I think it is interesting, especially when we're talking about a young quarterback that Charlie's just talking about, and his worst game, like Charlie just said, was against South Alabama, and Southern Miss's defense to me is just as good as South Alabama's, and I think it's at least a good thing to know that Louisiana. I know I ask the beat writer almost every week, like, what is the team's vibe of Southern Miss, and you know. And I think it's interesting to hear that they do know that Southern Miss very realistically could be, you know, 5-1 right now, you know. So, you know, if they have, you know, at least competent quarterback play against Troy, they probably could win that game. And then, you know, obviously they should have beaten Liberty with the Superback. So, you know, I think it's interesting to think about that. Jackson, why don't you talk to us about the running back room? They have their starting running back coming back this week, right?
Yeah, so their leading rusher, Chris Smith, who we saw at Sunbelt Media Day, is a native of Louisville, Mississippi. He will make his return after missing the past two games. In his last game played, he put up over 100 yards on 12 attempts against South Alabama in a tight game, and he had a 55-yard run in that game, which was his longest. Last week, without Smith, they ran for over 200 yards for the first time this season, but they had a big lead against Arkansas State, so they were able to get a lot of guys in there to kind of run all over them. But it is something to note with Smith returning. Last week, Terrence Williams rushed for 5 yards per carry against the Red Wolves, but he hasn't been as effective as Smith was. I think he has about 450 yards on the season with about 5 games played, with the 2 he missed. In their 3 losses, Arkansas State rushed for 61 yards, 86 yards, and 159 respectively. Though, the 159 came against South Alabama when their quarterback, Wooldridge, was kind of held in check, and they only had 115 total passing yards on the night. Wooldridge looks good for UL, but shutting down the run game is what Southern Miss has to do. It's a better running attack than Texas State was, because I did the numbers. They're actually bottom 10 in all of college football in rushing, so going to be a little bit of a tougher task this week. And I took a look at the O-line a little bit. The Raging Cajuns have allowed 11 sacks, which is actually third best in the Sun Belt. But they face a Southern Miss defense, which has recorded 25 sacks, which is fifth best in the country and tied for the best in the Sun Belt. And they're led by Dominic Quiwon, who is tied for the college football lead in solo sacks with 7. So it'll be a war of attrition up front come Thursday.
Yeah, and in the trenches, you know, that's probably where the game's going to be won. I think none of us here are going to think that this is going to be a blowout either way. I think this is going to be a close game defensive battle, and that's what I want to talk about next is just the defense. I ran the numbers. So they have a really good linebacker. I feel like I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Jordan Quibido. And so, you know, he has 62 self-tackles with 45 assists and 17 solo tackles. So in comparison, Southern Miss's leading tackle is Malik Shorts, and he has 52. So this guy has 10 more tackles than him, and he's by far their best player because the next guy who's Braylon Trahan, who's another one of their linebackers, I believe, he has 42 tackles. So it's almost 20 less tackles, 44 tackles for him, and almost 20 less than Jordan Quibido. So on the field for Southern Miss fans, if you see number 43 kind of getting involved, that's why, because he's a beast out there. He has one sack this year and no interceptions though. So their sack leader is a guy by the name of Andre Jones. He has 4.5 sacks to his name, followed by I'm really going to butcher his name, Zion Hill-Green, I believe. He has 3.5 sacks to his name. For in comparison to Southern Miss football, the leading sack is obviously Dominique Quillon, like Jackson just said, with 7. So Dominique is almost always in the backfield, it seems. And what's crazy is, has 8. But what's crazy is Southern Miss has multiple guys who have sacks. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 of their guys have sacks this season.
What?
So,
wow, decent.
Pretty insane. So, I was reading tackles for loss.
Not possible.
That didn't make no sense.
But still the number one of their, still a number. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So 11, 12, 13. So 13 of their guys.
That's still crazy.
I knew it was a big number, but then I started reading off tackles for loss, and I was like, when I was doing this in my head, I don't
count.
Remember being that big. But Southern Miss's defense, obviously, I think is probably better than UL's defense, but obviously we've seen for the Southern Miss's offense that even against probably not the best defense, they still struggle. But definitely be looking out for Jordan Quibido and that on the linebacker core. And so their defense is pretty good. They haven't been giving up really anything on defense. They only allow 19 points per game and just about, 991 yards gained in total for Louisiana.
Wow.
Against teams. So, Southern Miss is going to have to find a way to get the offense rolling. But as we've seen in the past, you know, it's been on the defense to try to get the offense in that position to get that the ball rolling. You know, I want to talk a little bit about just this regional rivalry. We kind of hit on it. And I think we have another clip, right, from Michael Desmore, who's the head coach of Louisiana. Why don't you just play that clip and we can talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had head coach written all over him. And Austin Armstrong is a guy that he's going to be a head coach before long, too. You know, I mean, he was a GA, I don't know, he was probably 24, 25 years old. And he had a maturity about him like he was, you know, 40 years old. I mean, he walked around here and he was locked in and he did his job really well. But he's a hell of a football coach. I mean, he knows both sides of the ball. You know, and I think those two guys, they do a really good job of leading. You know, they took over a program that they wanted to make changes and do it their way. And in year two, you can see the changes are starting to – you can see it circling around to where they want it to go. And I had no doubt that was going to happen when they got the job at Southern Miss. I was excited for them because I know the history Southern Miss has. I know a lot of respect for their program over a long term, and I know those guys can get – they're on their way right now of getting them to where they want to be, and they're headed in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, so just a lot of respect for Austin Armstrong, as I just talked about the defense for Southern Miss and Will Hall. A lot of respect in this rivalry because Monday when Jackson and I were both there when Will Hall was talking just about the respect that he has for UL, and a lot of the talk was about Texas State at that press conference just because we hadn't been able to talk to him. But what do y'all think, you know, maybe some names for this rivalry? I mentioned Battle on the Bayou. I remember that being kind of the name when they played in the Orange Bowl. But how big of a game is this? Will this be eventually?
Eventually, I think it's going to be big time because I think if we're looking at the trajectory of both of these teams, I know UL's been very impressive the past couple of years in the Sun Belt, but I don't see them going anywhere anytime soon. You know, they're in kind of a transition, you know, with coaching. from last year to this year. And then they're starting to put it together, it feels like. And then we know where Southern Miss, their trajectory is, how they're playing. So eventually I think this could be, you know, one of the best rivalries in the west of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I think of it like what Desmond was saying kind of reminded me of going into the Tulane matchup. No, Tulane's not in the Sun Belt, but it just shows you how, you know, these staffs regionally were kind of connected at one point. They're all kind of connected. So that could be, Desmond was talking about how they know how Hall likes to play or like what he likes to do. And Hall probably knows stuff about how they like to play too. So, I mean, I see this being kind of like a Tulane matchup, but in the Sun Belt, really. I think Tulane rivalry is back and this is something that's going to develop. I think you're going to see this. We've talked about this, South Alabama too. I think UL's already kind of has this history and it's just going to come right back after this game.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw it against Tulane, that game within a game, right, of the coaching staffs knowing each other. And Southern Miss was able to out-coach Tulane in that game. Mm-hmm. Can that happen against Louisiana? We'll have to wait and see. But just talking about how important this game is for both teams, a win puts you at 5-3, right? And at this point in the season, that is just unbelievable, especially because one more win and you're bowl eligible. Ask any Southern Miss fan after last year if next year they'd be bowl eligible. They'd think you're crazy. They would absolutely take it. So for that to happen for the Golden Eagles with the win, that, you know, four games left, math, yes, four games left, they would just have to win one, and then they can go bowling. So that's of utmost importance. In terms of rivalry names, I'm not very creative, so I'll defer to y'all on that one.
Like, battle for the shrimp
etouffee.
Maybe will we have some etouffee in the press box?
I feel like the UL press people would probably disapprove.
Yeah,
we can't
be doing no Cajun dishes.
Not
that
putting down
us.
Aramark or whatever.
Hey, last team that was from Louisiana was Northwestern State, and they had etouffee.
They did.
It wasn't bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I'll tell you what. Bring it themselves.
What, you know, this is something that's besides the point, but I'll tell you one thing. You cannot go wrong. There's a restaurant over there, Mario's. I know, Jackson, you were talking about it yesterday.
I was there last night.
Yeah, there last night. Mario's, man. That chicken Alfredo, that's what I would want in the press.
This is not a paid sponsorship.
Yeah, this is not a paid sponsorship, but I just wanted to say.
Yeah, Luigi's, they got the gabagool.
The gabagool.
Jackson, what dish did you eat last night?
Chicken parm. You know, I'm a Peyton Manning fan, chicken parm. You taste so good.
And we had some donuts out there, and nobody even ate them. And
I don't know what the mayor ordered last night. I didn't ask him.
Yeah, Jackson said the mayor was there.
He will probably be at this game, and I've heard some rumblings that Coach O might be at this game, too. If that's so true, but we did see him on the sidelines at Tulane, so there might be, you know, Coach O standing on the sidelines at Southern Miss.
Go Eagles.
That would bring warmth to Nathan's heart. We know that he's the best. He's the biggest Ed Orgeron fan.
No. Oh, you think he's a scumbag.
I still love Coach O, but he ain't my coach no more.
All right. Well, anything else on UL?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on their wide receiver room a little bit. Sure. Yeah. I think something big here is that I was going through the games. I don't think Southern Miss has faced a team that has really kind of implemented its tight ends. And it's not like UL is like super focused on this, but they've got guys, three of their eight guys who have 10 plus receptions. This is a team that likes to spread the ball out. That's what I want to say. And three of those guys are tight ends. One is 6'4", 247 pound Neil Johnson, who has 14 catches and two touchdowns. And listen to this. Johnny Lumpkin, 6'6", 268 pounds, also has 10 plus catches on the season. I don't think Southern Miss has really seen this yet. And, in the passing game, so this might be an interesting matchup to see. Some of the linebackers might be faced with this, and especially if they get in the red zone, that could be, you know, red zone threats. And one more thing is Michael Jefferson is kind of the Brownlee guy, same build. He's going to be their top target, and on the defense, there has not been a starting quarterback who has thrown more touchdowns than interceptions against UL this season, which I think is a big note, because last three games, we didn't talk about Southern Miss too much, but last three games, Zach Wilkie has 7 picks, and this is a team that has 10 different players that have had interceptions this year. They're ranked 11 in the nation in pass defense efficiency, so I think that's something to really look at that we didn't talk about, is they got weapons, and I mean, we're gonna have to see how Southern Miss's offense responds.
Wow, well, that's something I definitely didn't know, and maybe I might be switching my pick in the middle of this podcast, but spoiler warning, but yeah, you know, secondary, you know, for the UL sounds very good, and you know, I don't necessarily think Zach Wilkie played all that horrible last week. You know, I think Will Hall said it right, you know, 12-14 in the first half, the one pick he had in the first half, you know, it was because his arm got hit. So I feel like Zach Wilkie's playing better. What is it, the main thing that the offense has to do to move the ball this game?
And hold on to the ball, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't want to just take the points that have already been said, but, you know, UL's new quarterback doesn't throw picks, and Zach Wilkie does throw picks. And at the end of the day, you got to be able to, you know, hold on to the ball, play smart, you know, and just, you know, just play clean football. No penalties. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. You know, just the simple yet things that can change a game, especially a close game like this.
I'm going to echo that. I'll just say Southern Miss's last two wins are really kind of just improbable. They got it done, but they lost the turnover battle in both games. But this is a different ball game because UL is actually fifth in the nation in turnover margin. If I know Desermo was saying Southern Miss is opportunistic, but UL is even more opportunistic. Southern Miss is eighth to last in the nation in turnover margin. You can't really expect to win every game with that scenario. So I think they just have to play clean football. One thing to note is UL struggled in the red zone. So we talked about field position a lot. If Southern Miss can at least get it in field goal range, I think they can, you know, get some points on the board.
This isn't the first time I've said this, and it probably won't be the last, but for Southern Miss to be able to come out and be effective, run the dang ball. Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side. They've got to establish the run, take the ball out of Zach Wilkie's hands, because seven interceptions or
seven picks to 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games.
Yeah, and even a couple fumbles there too. Mm-hmm. So just not very strong from Wilkie. You got to take it out of his hands, maybe take the pressure off of his shoulders, put it in the pressure of Janari Dean, Frank Gore Jr., Chandler Pittman out of the backfield. He gets them carries too. You got to run the football and play complementary football so you're not one-dimensional, and you have to rely on Zach Wilkie trying to push it down the field. It worked at the end of last week, but can that be the plan going forward? It remains to be seen. So running the football, clock management, you know, you mentioned the stat about the interceptions. Do we see a lot of the super back this week? I know we saw it against Texas State. We've seen it in practice this week. So that has to be a factor. Wouldn't y'all agree?
Yeah.
Could be. So. It could be. I think it's always going to be a part of the plan, whether I wouldn't be a fan of seeing it as much as Liberty, but I think it is something good to, you know, sprinkle in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some is 131 rushing yards last week. And I think an important thing to note here is that for some reason, which I think is not for some reason, but a huge thing right now for Southern Miss is they had 3 turnovers last week, but Texas State had 0 points off those turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a testament to say that, like, I think it's almost expected that Southern Miss will turn the ball over now, but, like, their defense, when they turn the ball over, they don't allow any team to get momentum from it. It's almost like, I think last week it was 2-3 and outs and then like a first down, but then they punted. So like it's like almost immediately the defense took off that momentum from last week. And I think the week before that it was like that. I mean, Arkansas State picked off Wilkie, and they didn't get any points off of it. So the two drives that Arkansas State scored was the opening drive and then the opening drive of the second half, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So and then a couple field goals and a safety. But, you know, I just think that's a testament, too, that even if Southern Miss does turn the ball over, which obviously is not good, they don't need to do that, but if they do and the defense, you know,
hangs in there and says, you know what, look, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to let them score off these turnovers. I think that that's just as big.
Yep. I definitely agree with that, but you cannot rely on this defense every
single game. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it is past precedent has shown that the defense has held. And if that is true for this game, the turnovers, I don't want to say may not be a factor, but they weren't a factor last week.
Yep.
Like, they weren't a factor last week. They turned the ball, they were -2 in the turnover differential, and they weren't a factor. Still won the game, and they probably should have won the game by more, a lot more than they did. So, yeah. So, anything else on UL?
I ain't got nothing.
All right. So, with that, we will shift into our bold predictions and game picks here on 4th Street.
Mo Dogs, that's really what it is, bro.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year.
And back on 4th Street with our bold predictions, Southern Miss, Louisiana. Nathan, get bold.
Bold? You want me to get bold?
I want
real
you to
quick?
Get bold. Let's go.
All right. I think this one also will tell you what my pick is, but I think the Southern Miss Golden Eagles hold Louisiana UL to under 50 rushing yards with a scoop and score.
Scoop and score. I don't think we've seen that this year, have we? No,
we have not. Okay. I think they break that seal, you know?
So we got a strip sack. State. Yeah, strip
okay,
sack.
Okay, we did. Okay, we did.
See that. So I've got – this is interesting. We've got a bad red zone offense going against as bad as a red zone defense. So I think it's going to be interesting. You know, we talk about the best offense versus the best defense kind of thing, where we're going the worst versus the worst kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So we'll see who pushes out. But I think this will give number 40 some opportunities in this game. I got him making a career-high 4 field goals against UL. Briggs Bourgeois making 4 in this game. So there we go.
4 field goals.
So, on the season, Zach Wilkie has thrown for over 200 yards once. Can y'all guess the game?
Well, I just saw it.
Okay.
Tulane, right?
No, it was Miami.
Oh,
his first start, 207 yards. So, he has yet to throw for over 200 yards since then, yet to throw for 300 yards, 7 interceptions in the last 3 weeks. So, my bold prediction, he throws for 300 yards and no turnovers this week against UL on primetime.
That is a good pick. My pick is very interesting. It has nothing to do with the actual game. So, I don't remember the last – this will definitely give away my pick. But I do not remember the last time that Southern Miss fans stormed the field after a game. And my bold prediction is that when Southern Miss wins on a Briggs Bourgeois game winner, kind of going on Charlie, I feel my bold prediction is that Southern Miss will storm the field, which I guess means I'm like, it's a bold prediction that Southern Miss wins, I guess, but it's more of a bold prediction that I don't ever remember Southern Miss fans storming the field. And I can just see the blackout and the student section just rushing the field if they won this game, beating the defending champs.
Jeremy McClain might be sweating hearing this. He's like,
yeah.
We don't want to pay that fine.
I feel like that's a bold prediction to assume the students are still going to be there in the second half.
Hot take.
Hot take. Students better show up on our student podcast.
I'm a student. I can say that.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
I've got a pass.
Yeah.
Well, those are our bold predictions here on 4th Street. Back on 4th Street, Nathan, Charlie, Jackson, me, Dima, here to give our game picks. Southern Miss, Louisiana, 6:30 ESPN2 primetime. The line in this game, steady. USM favored. So the line opened, UL was favored by 2.5, I think, and it's dropped all the way down to Southern Miss being favored at home. And I think at the beginning of the season, if you would have said Southern Miss was be favored in this game, that's really a big testament. That's pretty crazy. The over-under is set at over under 43. Austin is not here in the room, so we will give his pick in a second. Let's start with Nathan, then we'll go Charlie Jackson.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a defensive battle. Don't want to overspeak. We've already made our points throughout this podcast, so I'm just going to give it straight to y'all. I think Southern Miss pulls it off in the Rock on Thursday night, 20-18.
Ooh. 18. How did they get 18?
I don't know, but they're going to get there.
Okay. And that's under the 43. 3.
Indeed.
Charlie, what's your pick?
So I've got an odd score too, but I mean, I've been right every time, every Southern Miss game, and I'm going to pick against them here. I just think what I said about the turnover margin, that's going to be a lot to overcome, and how this, you know, it has been trending. Louisiana's got a defense that creates opportunities. So I think that could put the defense against backs against their wall, against the wall. So I got Louisiana winning 27-19, getting Briggs Bourgeois' 4 field goals in there and a touchdown.
So is that the over?
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, because I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for both teams.
Okay. Yeah, kind of going off what I hit on earlier, Southern Miss has found ways to win, but they weren't against the best of competition. Mm-hmm. Louisiana's a better team, so that's not going to fly against them. And I think Louisiana gets the win in the Rock on primetime, 21-19. I have that being under.
I mean, 19. I mean, I still don't even understand these scores.
But 4 field goals.
4 field goals and a touchdown. Hey, I picked 19 last week, 19-17. Austin has Southern Miss pulling out 24-17, and that is under, if I'm doing the math correctly. Actually, that might be over. But so for me, I think that this – so football is a mental game just as much as the stats that we just talked about for the last half hour. That the stats – you know, they're very important, but you don't win the game on stats. You win the game. The stats are 0-0 when the game starts on Thursday night at the Rock. And I really think that this game is more about Southern Miss than it is about UL. And I think that Will Hall and this team will be, you might see on the opening kickoff, like them running down there and just knocking one of these players off the head. And I think the hype for this game is probably the biggest hype for a Southern Miss game since 2019, when North Texas came in here for homecoming and it was packed out, and that was the loudest I've heard the Rock. And while the offense, you know, they've had their struggles, the defense are probably going to play out of their minds. I think they're going to hold Louisiana down, and I think that they get the key turnover and they help Southern Miss win this game. Briggs Bourgeois, game winner, Southern Miss 20-17, and that's under the 43. So those are our picks. Southern Miss UL. Primetime, be there. There's literally no reason not to go to the game. This is a big game for these student athletes. Go support them. And so those are our game picks. Southern Miss UL.
Smooth Oss, Charlie, Nathan, Dima, and Jackson. Be thy name, 4th Street.
Be the gang.
Back on 4th Street. Time to get into our weekly picks. Prince Pick'em. Everybody's laughing at me. Prince Pick'em. Let's go over the standings here. So I am still in the lead, but Charlie and Nathan and Jackson all kind of carving into that lead a little bit. I'm at the lead 131. Charlie, you're at 121. Nathan's at 120. Jackson's at 117. And Austin's down there at 103. So he had a tough week last week, but he's sent his picks in this week, so he should be back on the spin of things. Gentlemen, we have 4 Sun Belt games to pick this week because there was a game that I was just not going to pick. It was an FCS versus App State, and that's just not fun. So we added a national game. So we have 6 national games, 4 Sun Belt games. So let's get into them. Let's go out west. Number 14, Utah at Washington State. Utah is a 7-point favorite, road favorite, and the over-under is set at 55. So let's go Nathan, Charlie, then Jackson.
Yes, Washington State is a very weird opponent for Utah. I don't think it's as easy as it looks. I think Utah struggles early on, but I think they pull it off at the end, 34-23.
Every time I picked Utah, they've lost, so I literally have no other reason when I'm picking against Utah here. I got Washington State pulling off the upset, 27-24.
Did you hear what Nathan said? I agree, 34-23 Utah. Mm.
Yeah, well, I think Pullman's actually a weird place to play. You know, Washington State always plays well there, and it's a night game. I'm picking Washington State to win that game, 31-28, and that's over the 55. Mm. Austin has Utah winning 35-24, and that is also over. Let's go to the SEC. Number 19, Kentucky, at number 3, Tennessee. Tennessee is a 12.5-point favorite. The over-under is set at 63.5.
Yeah, I think this is another game that, you know, is a little bit more competitive than people expect. I think it's just that rivalry game so close in proximity, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky. So I think Kentucky sticks around early on. I think Will Levis is able to do a couple of good things, but I think Tennessee is just a little too powerful on offense. 41-28, got the Vols.
There's a reason Tennessee is wearing all black, and it's because it's a funeral for Kentucky's run as top 25 frauds. Tennessee wins this game easily 48-24. I usually don't get hot takes, but I've been saying this. No mayonnaise in my coffee.
Charlie has been on this Kentucky in the top 25 thing since day one.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Will Levis, another week healthy, coming off a bye week. Tennessee could perhaps be looking ahead to their matchup with Georgia next week. Mm-hmm. I don't have the cojones to pick them, but I think Kentucky keeps it close. Tennessee wins 27-24.
Wow.
Do not be surprised if there's an upset.
Mm. Okay. Covering for Kentucky.
He's just mad about the Alabama game.
No comment.
Austin has Tennessee winning. Almost said Kentucky. They have Tennessee winning. He has Tennessee winning. It's over and Kentucky covering 42-31. I'm on the same boat as Nathan, almost pretty much the same score. I think, like Jackson said, I think it's going to be close. And I think it could be exactly what Jackson says, like 35-28 in the fourth quarter. And then I have Tennessee just scoring that last touchdown to push it over and to have Tennessee covering. So 42-28. And that's over the 63.5. I feel like we're picking Oklahoma State and Kansas State almost every week, so they finally are playing each other, so maybe we stop picking one of them. Oklahoma State at Texas State, number 9 at number 22. Kansas State is a 1-point favorite. The over-under is at 56. Also, I'm sorry, we do not have a fan vote. Like I said, this is the very quick turnaround week for us, so everything's kind of messed up. So, sorry about that. But, Nathan, what's your pick?
Yeah, like I said last podcast, I'm done with Oklahoma State, but I sadly have to jump back on the bandwagon one more week at least. I don't think Kansas State gets the job done. Got a good team. You know, they've got some good wins, but they've had a bad loss in there too. I think Oklahoma State gets it done in a very competitive game, 37-31.
I picked Oklahoma State to beat Texas last week. Who else did? Did anybody hear?
Mm-mm.
Exactly. I'm riding with Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I know you said you're done with them, but I think they're competitive. I think they're a good team. I got them winning 41-27.
Sounds like somebody hasn't had their coffee this
year.
He's up for fire on
I'm just roasting y'all.
Roasting Kentucky and then roasting us.
Go back to your trash can, you grouch. Look, for Kansas State, Adrian Martinez's status is in doubt. He exited early last week, and that allowed TCU to get back in the game and win. So with that, I think Oklahoma State actually wins quite comfortably, 34-21, and that's under.
Yeah, maybe Charlie should go back to his 4 field goal pick. I don't know. okay, so Austin's pick is Oklahoma State big, 52-30.
Wow.
So that's a war. That's way over the 56.
Yeah.
That is a lot of points. I guess it's Big 12. I agree. I think with the Adrian Martinez thing in doubt, I think Oklahoma State's pretty good. They probably shouldn't. Did they beat Texas last week? They beat Texas last week. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I forgot about that. As he just said it. Yeah.
Sorry, Austin.
But I have Oklahoma State winning as well. 34-27. I'm going with the mullet. So, but that is over the 61. So I'm not going over on. I think these money lines are kind of crazy. Let's go to kind of a weird game. We're pretty much just picking the spread here. But Florida and Georgia, number one, Georgia. I don't think they should be number one. But they're number one right now. Georgia's a 22.5-point favorite. The over-under is set at 56.5.
Yeah, we don't see no upset in this one. But I do think Florida gets that backdoor cover. 38-17,
wow.
Georgia gets the win.
So you're picking the cover by a half point.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, this Florida-Georgia line is a little weird. Oh.
Charlie. Wait, he's not going to be on the podcast next week.
Terrible.
No, I don't know. I feel like this is a game that I watched the Georgia-Missouri game, and I don't think they are unbeatable. And I think this is – I don't know. I think this is a game where Florida could come in and compete. I still don't think they're going to beat Georgia, though. So I got the Bulldogs winning 34-20.
Ooh,
another cover. I see this game being worse than Florida-Georgia line's music. I think that Georgia is the best team in the country, unlike what some biased fans might say. But I think this one, it could be like close at half, maybe like 7-3, 14-3 or something like that. But I think Georgia pulls away 35-6, and that's under.
The fighting Stetson Bennett. Hey, guys, I'm
very good. Jones College, baby.
Jones College. So, Austin has 31-10 Georgia, so he's actually got to pick the backdoor cover as well, and that's under the 56.5. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Georgia, you know, their defense is pretty solid. Florida hasn't really shown me anything to tell me they're going to beat Georgia. But, I mean, it is a rivalry, so you kind of got to put that into this aspect. But I could see them, I don't know. I'm going to go Georgia 42-14, and that is under the 56.5 by a half point. I really don't know anything about that game, so I'm just going to say Georgia wins by a good bit. But I can definitely see how it's closer. Let's go to probably the closest line. It is the closest line. So number 20, Cincinnati at UCF. It is a pick'em line as of now. It could change by game time, but it's a PK. Over-under is 56.
Yeah, this one I racked my brain on for about 30 minutes last night, and I still don't feel confident in this pick, but I'm going to go with the hometown man. Old John Rhys Plumlee gets the job done out there at Central Florida. They win 33-28.
You know, Plumlee had a terrible game last week. And if that hadn't happened, I would be picking UCF too. But since he's got one of the better pass defenses in the nation, I'm not saying that Plumlee can't bounce back. And UCF is actually 4-1 at home. But that loss was against Louisville. So I think this is tougher than Louisville. I got Cincy winning 31-21.
Yeah, I know Cincinnati's been really good the last couple years, a little bit longer than that, but particularly the last 2 years, COVID year and last year. UCF, they lost big last week. John Rhys Plumlee didn't play very well. But it's hard to pick against the hometown kid and Gus Malzahn, I think. That'll be a good coaching matchup.
It would be hard for you to pick against Gus Malzahn.
Shut up, Dean. It'll be hard. I think Gus Malzahn against Luke Fickell, that's as good of a coaching matchup you're going to get in the group of five ranks. And to quote Gus Malzahn and my coworker Ben from Big Gold Nation's Twitter bio, this will definitely be a Waffle House night. Give me UCF in the bounce house, 23-20.
That's a good one.
That. Okay. So Austin has Cincinnati winning 35-17, so blowing them out on the road. So.
Clown him, why don't you?
Yeah. He's not here. I don't know. I mean, I think, man, it's just tough to win at UCF, man. I mean, I know Cincinnati's been good, but I think their reign in this AAC is kind of over, and I think UCF kind of puts that one behind them. And also, last week, East Carolina's a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pretty good. I know their record probably doesn't show up, but that is a scrappy team right there, and it's so I'm going to pick UCF to win 30-20. So under the 56, but UCF wins pretty comfortably. Let us finally pick the Buckeyes. We have not picked them since week one. Mm-hmm. We're like week nine. I've been missing
because they play nobody.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. I set that up just so I could say that Southern Ohio State's playing in the best game of the week.
Yes.
Number 2, Ohio State at number 13, Penn State. Ohio State is a 15.5-point favorite. The over-under set at 61.
Yeah, I think Ohio State gets a slightly exposed defensively early on in this game. I think Penn State comes out ready at home. It's a wideout game, I think. Not wideout, so. But it's a home game. That's still just a tough place to play at. But I think Ohio State's offense, once again, is just too explosive. And I think that defense will show up in the second half and absolutely shut down that offense for Penn State. So I think Ohio State gets the win and covers 44-24.
I don't know why they didn't make this the wideout game, honestly.
Yeah. I guess it's Michigan's in Ann Arbor this year, right?
Yeah. No, it's in Columbus.
Oh, it's Columbus? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a little weird, but I don't know. I know you were joking about if anybody picks the under. I'm going to pick the under here. I don't know. I don't know how long Ohio State's streak, like, offensively can go. Dominance, I think a lot of that is just they're obviously, I think, the best offense right now, but I got some competition going on in this game. Still, Ohio State is, you know, a dominant team, so I got them winning 34-17.
I kind of found it interesting that you called this the game of the week when we have the fighting Bob Morris Colonials going to Appalachian State, but I digress. You got biggest game of the week, Ohio State and Penn State. Big atmosphere in Beaver Stadium. They just had their whiteout last week. Won't be the case this week. But I think Penn State's better than what they showed against Michigan. They'll play better in this game than they did that game, specifically because they're at home. And I think it's a close game. It could be a backdoor cover situation, but I have the Buckeyes prevailing in a tight one, 38-35.
Wow, very tight. So Ohio State is obviously normally favored in this game. So, but they are 1-5 against the spread against Penn State in the last 10 meetings. Last year they were favored by 18.5 and won 33-24. So Penn State is probably the game that Ohio State, and in 2019, which was Ohio State's probably best team that I've seen in a long time, they only beat Penn State 28-17 at home. So, and that's not as good as this Penn State team, though. You know, they're scrappy, and you know, you have, you know, you're gonna have Sean Clifford, you're gonna have David Singletary with the running back kind of getting some work going. They have some good, I think the secondary for Penn State is gonna be the key in this game, because you know, you have a CJ Stroud who last week against Iowa, you know, the offense took a while to get going because Iowa was putting everything in front of them and forcing Ohio State to run the ball. But I think that's where the game's gonna be done. Trayvon Henderson, Mayan Williams run the ball against Penn State. So I have Ohio State covering, and I have it 42-20, Ohio State. So that's over the 61 by a point. So that's our national games. Let's get into Sun Belt, Old Dominion at Georgia State. Georgia State's a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under is at 55.5.
Yeah, Old Dominion versus Georgia State's easily the hardest game to pick in Sun Belt this week. Man, I don't understand either one of these teams at this point. But I think Georgia State bounces back. I mean, Old Dominion bounces back after their loss last week to Georgia Southern. So they get the job done 31-24.
Oh, man. I didn't even know that. But I still, Old Dominion is really competitive. They've played some good games, even if their record, you know, doesn't show that. They're a team that can, I think, win this game. I got them going 34-24.
Yeah, I mean, this game is just a head-scratcher, a real toss-up. But Georgia State has a tendency to start the year slow and then pick up wins down the road. And I think they pick up the win here ahead of the big Southern Miss matchup next week. I have Georgia State winning 27-24, and that is under.
Yeah, so Austin has Georgia Old Dominion winning 38-24 on the road, so he has Old Dominion winning by a comfortable margin there. I'm agreeing with Jackson here. I think Georgia State, you know, on the batter half of the season, they're better, and I still think Georgia State's one of the better teams in the Sun Belt, even though they started 0-4 or whatever. They have amazing talent on that team, so I have them winning 31-17, and that's under 55.5. South Alabama at Arkansas State. South Alabama lost to Troy last week. Good pick by Jackson. South Alabama minus 10 on the road. 55.5 is over-under.
Yeah, I don't see this one being competitive at all. I think South Alabama is easily the better team, and Arkansas State's still figuring out what they're doing over there. So South Al gets a big win, 38-17.
I think you were just saying that Blackman is going to be back, but they also have some other key, I think, injuries on defense. Arkansas State, I think South Alabama bounces back here, 31-13.
Yeah, you said I made a good pick with Troy last week, but I also made an equally bad pick when I picked Arkansas State to beat Louisiana last week. So everything should even out this week. I'm not taking that chance again. Butch Jones is cooked. South Alabama wins 35-21.
Oh, my.
Good night. Okay.
Still some animosity from his Tennessee tenure. No disrespect. It's not you, it's me.
He's an Alabama fan, folks. South Alabama 27-14. Austin's picking that. Yeah, I think this game might be actually interesting for about 30 minutes. So South Alabama 35-24 over the 55.5, and that is them covering. Coastal Carolina at Marshall. Marshall's a 2-point favorite, 55.5. Marshall on the road last week winning, I believe. So, Nathan, what's your pick?
Yeah, this is another tough one in the Sun Belt. Just as hard as that Old Dominion Georgia State pick. But I'm going to go with the Chanticleers here. I think I said that right. I think Coastal's offense just has a little too much for that Marshall defense, and they get it done. At Marshall, Coastal wins 34-26.
You see, I didn't pick Coastal losing the game. They did lose, but once I saw that Blake Watson just shredded them, and now they're going against Kalen Laybourne, who's arguably the best. I don't even want to say arguably. He is the best right now. 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns in 7 games rushing, best back in the Sun Belt. He put up 151 against JMU, who, as we know, have the best rush defense in the league and in the nation still. So I got that as a key matchup in this game and gives Marshall the edge, 35-28.
Yeah, this is kind of a tale of two teams, right? Coastal Carolina, they're coming off a big loss, 49-21 against, was it Georgia Southern?
Let's see. I don't know, I have to look that up.
26-12 against James Madison.
Pulling that up. It was Old Dominion, actually. I got that totally wrong.
Old Dominion has.
But either way, and then you got Marshall coming off as low as that was for Coastal Carolina, a high where they beat Jim Madison 26-12 by 2 touchdowns. So something's got to give. Coastal Carolina, I still think they're a better team. Coming off the bye, I think they get a gritty victory here, 24-20, and that's under.
You picked Coastal?
I did.
Okay. Austin also picked Coastal. I just moved my messages, but I know he picked Coastal, and I don't want to have to find it. But actually, I will find it, whatever. Coastal, 34-31. Yeah, I think Marshall at home, best running back, I think they're going to blow him out, 35-17 over Coastal. I think this is a big game for Marshall. So over the 55.5.
Wrong.
So those are our picks on Prince Pick'em. I encourage you to tune in to Ohio State Penn State because that's going to be a pretty good game.
Hey, Fox.
Good God.
But I really encourage you to go to the game tomorrow night, Thursday night game, 6:30. If you're a student listening to this, you literally get in free. So there's literally no reason for you not to go. And if you're not a student listening to this, $6 to go sit on the 20-yard line where you can see everything. We will all be there except for Charlie. He will be there. He just won't be working. Yeah. So, Nathan, Jackson and I will be working, as well as Austin, hopefully. And so that is our podcast. Gentlemen, any last words?
Nope. Hope it's a good game on Thursday, though.
Yep. Tune in Mondays at 5, as always.
Yes. Yeah.
Ca-caw.
Yeah, Mondays at 5, 88.5. Tune in Monday. That is will be our podcast after the game. And then look on YouTube for our post-game reactions Thursday night. So thank you so much. So for Nathan, for Charlie, for Jackson, I'm Dima, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.